myself very briefly. So in addition to what I said earlier, I'm a professor of community medicine and pediatrics at the University of Connecticut. I want to make clear that I'm presenting this on behalf of a collaboration of people. I happen to be the person who was present at this meeting. What is really unique and exciting about this collaboration is it is really a South-South collaboration to try to address some of the issues about women's health. So I am the vehicle for this. I am certainly not the person who made it all happen. So this presentation is about the Women in Health Task Force, and it's actually about the product this task force has created, which are learning modules, which I'll describe in a little more detail. And as I said, this is a method for changing policy by really working on workforce development and starting with students of all health professions, trying to help them understand and create more women-friendly providers and systems. So this collaboration has provided a very important forum for all of us to discuss these issues and to really start to incorporate gender issues in health professions education. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. We all know that the determinants of women's health are complex and embody all of the things that I think Alicia just very clearly presented. So the Women in Health Task Force, I will say the one thing is that I've been involved in this since the beginning. So we started first in 91 because I remember when it was. But because, again, voluntary things are hard to hold together over time when people only see each other once a year at a meeting, we were reorganized and energized in 2002, and we have members from more than 20 countries, and you can see that it's a pretty broad range of people. This is our most recent gathering, which was at our annual meeting in Kampala, Uganda. And so it's a collaboration not only between institutions and faculty from different professions, schools, and in different countries, but also of different organizations. So the Women in Health Task Force is actually the group that developed modules. So they provided kind of the content and the leadership and the concepts. GET, which is Global Health Education and Training. Okay. and we have two GET staff members here, Marion Billings and Julia Dettinger, who are sitting up here in front. Provided the staffing, funding, and management. And I have to say that GETS is the glue that made it possible for us to go from a group that met once a year at meetings and talked about these things to actually producing very important and workable modules. A group called the Network Toward Unity for Health, which provided organization, the kind of forum we meet through them. They provide the networking and the technology development. And the University Sends Malaysia and GKP, which provided some of the funding. So the network is an international organization of health professions, education institutions, and also organizations working at local community levels. It's a pretty well-established organization, and as you can see, it has pretty broad representation. Its organization is based in Maastricht, the Netherlands. GETS we just talked about, but GETS is an NGO that's based in the United States, and earlier today they presented a program that they have in Nicaragua on promoting workers' rights. So they do a lot of occupational health as well as promotion of women's health and other underserved populations. Okay, and this is just some pictures from some of the areas that our collaborative faculty work in. And this is what I'm really going to talk about, which is the Women in Health Learning Package, which is a series of modules on women's health issues. And each module has kind of some key components, which are information about the author, a global overview of the topic, and I'll tell you what the topics are in a moment. Regional and local overview, and that's usually for the author's region and country. resources, and then case studies. And the case studies are a very important component of it. And those case studies can be used for problem-based learning discussions, problem-solving, getting people to think about what the issues are, student notes, and tutor notes. So the first five modules we did were the ones that you see here. So violence against women, gender, and health. I'm not going to read them all, but those were the first five that we produced. And these five modules were piloted at seven universities. And you can see that they were, again, globally distributed. And as so they were implemented through the use of very small grants. They were actually $1,200 grants. I want to say that in addition to the grants, all of the faculty who did this got support to come to the meetings, so they got scholarships so that they could come to these meetings and have planning sessions and collaborate on what the content would be. So one of those meetings took place in Atlanta and really dealt with social accountability and strategies for implementing. This is prior to implementing the grants. And then they were reported on in Vietnam. And from the pilot projects, we learned that there were a lot of different ways to implement these modules and that we are now incorporating that in part of the material we distribute about using them. We also discovered that, $1,200 doesn't sound like very much money, but it's often enough to get something off the ground within an institution. And as some of our collaborators pointed out, it's also not so much that somebody gets jealous that you got this big grant and therefore they don't want to have anything to do with what you're doing, which unfortunately is something we have to deal with sometimes. It also makes them more sustainable because it doesn't require a lot of resources. And based on those pilots, we decided that we were going to focus on developing more modules and disseminating them better and providing support to get more institutions involved. I don't think I'm going to go through this a whole lot, but basically we also have instituted an ongoing editorial process because these modules need to be updated because the information changes. In the second phase, we were able to do nine additional modules. So we now have a Women and Health Learning Package that covers 14 learning modules. Those are available online, and I just realized that that's not part of the presentation anymore. But you can go to GETS to get the link, and I think there are pamphlets at the back of the room. Also, during this period of time, we implemented three community-based projects. So while most of the emphasis initially was on developing these modules to be used in health profession schools, we also wanted to use them in community settings and see how they needed to be adapted for that process. And so you can see it ranged from working with community health volunteers in Pakistan, IDP camps in Sudan, and again, an outreach to the community, but to the community of professionals, because in Egypt, female genital mutilation has been medicalized. So even though it's illegal, doctors now do it because it's cleaner and safer than having it done in a traditional way. And so this was an outreach, and there's a really nice CD and program that's available about that as well, about this program to reach out to physicians. So what we learned was that, it's really important to have, from the community projects, you have to have a good university-community relationship, and that you really need to work with men as well as women in communities, and sometimes we forget that part of the gender integration, and working within existing institutions so that it's more sustainable. And then just the fact that by starting small, you can also ensure, you can make it bigger, but you've got a pilot, so you can show people what you're capable of. So this coming year, we have more community-based projects planned. And again, three of those are in Africa, and one of them is in Malaysia. And this is just showing you what the dissemination of the Women and Health Learning Package has been thus far. And so there are CD-ROMs, which I don't know if we have any here, but you can download it. So we've distributed over 200 CD-ROMs, and we have had 257 unique users download the material. And that's from 201 institutions in 60 countries, and you can get an idea of the regions. So Africa has been a big place where a lot of the materials have been used. We've done a lot of presentations, including here now, trying to get the word out about the modules. We're really excited and interested in having all of you take a look, give us feedback, use them in your own settings. And we're also working on developing more systematic documentation and evaluation, and developing more adaptation of the modules. So we've done a very preliminary pilot evaluation. So the rating of the modules was about 4.5 on a 5-point scale. So overall, they've been very well received. The most used modules you can see up here, with the exception of the last one, those are all the first five. So I think that just has to do with people's familiarity with the package. And mostly medical and nursing students, and I have to say that's about half and half, so this is being used equally in medical and nursing schools, but also community members, nutrition, public health students. And again, depending on where you're doing it, if it's in a structured curriculum, you can integrate it, and if it's in a community setting, you need to think about stories and songs and theater. Some of the cases have been translated into Spanish and Nepalese, and we're hoping to get more translations as time goes on. So the recommendations that came out of that evaluation is the need for more topics, and breast cancer was certainly one of the ones that came up, and women's health and human rights was another one, so we might be contacting you as well. And then using modules with men in the community, as I mentioned before. So just in terms of a general summary, we think that global collaboration really promotes diverse learning tools, and that improves all of our ability to provide care both within our own countries because of all the migration that's going on, and as well as in other countries. So it also highlights universal women's health issues. So there are some things that are commonalities across regions of the world and countries, and that small catalysts can yield large results. That really women's health has not been, and gender issues have not been well emphasized in certainly health professions curricula, and it's an important thing. So we're hoping that as a result of this initiative that we really are able to make a difference in terms of how care is provided to women throughout the world. So thank you very much.